So let's review. Our shir began with the Gemara continuing the discussion from the previous daf, why a bell whose clapper is removed retains its tumah. We learned the Bai's answer, Hoil shahed yud yochel achzira. Since the clapper can easily be replaced by a layman, it does not require a craftsman. Therefore, the temporary removal of the clapper does not affect the bell's tumah status. Rava answered, Hoil v'ro la'kisho agabicheres. Since it could still be used as a noisemaker, a semblance of its original function by banging it on pottery, it retains its tumah status. We now go to the third teretz. Rabbi Yechonin Amar Hoyel V'ro L'Gamea B'Yimayim L'Tinik. Rabbi Yechonin says that even though it can no longer fulfill its original purpose of noisemaking, but it does have some form of functionality, such as using it as a small cup for a child to drink from, it retains its original tumah status. The Gemara goes on to prove that Rabbi Yechonin actually holds that B'Yim Me'ein Melach Rishayna. For a kli to retain its original tumah status, it has to still be usable for some semblance of its original purpose. If it is only usable for some other purpose, it loses the original tumah status. This is evident in his comments about an overturned box losing its tumah medrash status, and in his comments about a metal animal shoe losing its tumah status. Now, we're not going to go into the details of each case, but in light of this, we have to switch the authorship of the two opinions just mentioned. It is Rava who holds Loi Be'inon Me'en Malach Rishayna, and Rabbi Yechonin who holds Be'inon Me'en Malach Rishayna. The Gemara records three opinions as to why Sandal Shel Behema Shel Matech Es Tame. A metal animal shoe is susceptible to Tuma. Omar Rav, Ro Lishtis Be'mayim Be'molchama. It can be used to fill with drinking water, assuming that it's clean. Rabbi Chanina Omar, Ro Losach Be'shemin Be'molchama. It can be used to anoint oil during the war, which would be valid even if the shoe were dirty and regardless of its weight. When fleeing from battle, a person might put them on his feet, assuming that the shoes are lightweight. The Gemara now returns to the next item mentioned in the Mishnah. A woman may not go out with an ornament called Irshel Zav, which the Gemara describes as Yerushalayim de Dehava, a golden ornament with a design of Yerushalayim on it, like the one Rabbi Kiva gave his wife. Rashi in the Mishnah says that it was a type of clasp. Tosafos here says it's a type of a tiara. The Gemara cites three opinions whether it may be worn. Remeah holds it is a malacha d'iraisa to wear it because it's considered a masa, a burden. The Chacham say she may not go out with it, but if she did, she would not bring a karma chattas because the Chacham hold that it is a tachshit. And it's mutter midairaisa. It's only asim drabana out of a concern that she may remove it to show off to her friends. Rabbi Leza Omer, Yoitza Isha Be'irshel Zav Likatchila. Rabbi Leza holds it is completely permissible to wear it since only wealthy women can afford it, and wealthy women do not remove jewelry to show off to friends. The Gemara goes on to discuss two other types of decorative jewelry that women would wear and whether they may be worn outside on Shabbos. Kalila, an ornament worn on the forehead. Rav Aser Rishmul Shari. Rav says she may not wear it on Shabbos, and Shmuel says it is permissible. There are two opinions whether the machloikis is only about a kalila made of fabric, studded with gold and precious stones, but all would agree a kalila made of precious metal is Aser, because that is more likely to be shown off, or if the machloikis is about a kalila made of precious metal, but all would agree that a kalila made of fabric is permissible, because that is less likely to be shown off. The Gemara concludes like the second, more lenient opinion. In the context of the discussion of a kalila, the Gemara tells us that Amru Leila Rav Asa Gava Rabba Arichel in Nardo Umatla Vidorish Kalila Shar. Rav was told that a tall, limping man arrived in Nardo, teaching that a kalila may be worn. Rav identified him as Levi. From this information alone that Levi left Eretz Yisrael for Nardo, Rav deduced that Reb Ephes had died, and Reb Chanina ascended to the position of Rosh Hashiva, which left Levi without a chavrusa. The Gemara highlights the difference between the affluence of Mechayza and the Nardo by the number of kalilis that were seen after the Pesach permitting kalilis was issued in each town. Regarding a similar item, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav Shmuel, Kamra Shari, a special belt made of either fabric and precious stones or of hammered precious metals is mutter to wear on Shabbos. The Gemara continues to identify items mentioned in the Mishnah. Lebekatla, a type of bib made of either fabric decorated with gold or completely of precious metal. V'loy b'nizamim, the Gemara limits it to nizmi ha'af, nose rings. Rashi speaks out that earrings are permitted because they are difficult to remove due to their kerchiefs or hats that they wore. The daf concludes with a discussion of signet rings that will continue into the following daf. The Mishnah said, a woman may not go out with a ring that has no signet. As most other items in the Mishnah, it is a tachshit and mutter midaraisa. It is only asim and rabban out of concern that she may remove it to show it off to her friends. The Gemara points out, if it does have a signet, she would be chayev achatas midaraisa. This is actually a Mishnah later on in Daf Samach Bezim Adolf. Alma lav tachshitu. This indicates that it is not a tachshit, but a masri. However, the Gemara asks from a Mishnah in Masechtas Kelim, which lists the tabas, bein sheyesh le'achaisim, bein she'enu le'achaisim, both types of rings among tachshiti nashim, regarding being makabel tumah, and presumably would also be considered a tachshit regarding Shabbos. The Gemara offers three answers to this question, the first of which is on this daf. The two Mishnahs reflect the opinions of two different Tanoim. Our Mishnah, which implies that a ring with a signet is not a tachshit, reflects the opinion of Reb Nechemya, who holds that the status of a ring regarding tumah is determined by the signet and not the ring. And as Rashi explains, so too regarding Shabbos. The status of a tachshit is based on the signet. Since a woman generally does not wear a ring with a signet, it's not considered a tachshit for her. The Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, however, that holds it is a tachshit, reflects the opinion of the Chacham, who hold that a ring's status is entirely based on the ring and not the signet. Therefore, both rings have the same status as a tachshit. The other two answers will be learned on the following daf.